Previously on Critically Stupid.
Just lean into the ramble. Someday, when I'm dead and gone and this exists in the archives, somebody can listen to it and be like, oh my God, wow, she really was a train wreck. Smash cut. Welcome back, everybody, to the next episode of Critically Stupid. For those of you with a memory like mine, I am here with your recap. So, where were we last time? Bodies. So many bodies. Dead bodies. Reanimated dead bodies. I have so many questions. You may recall that I shot Izzy. No regrets, by the way. Ended up meeting him in his house with his sister Christina, who seems a very capable person and really just makes me question Izzy's motivations even more. Anyway, their father was now also one of the dead bodies. Julian, our accountant, being the very nice dwarf that he is, was like, you know what? I will try to bring him back. And I was firmly against this because, again, there was the undead already, and it just seemed like a bad idea. But Julian was like, I think I can do this as long as I have a diamond. So we attempted to bring back their father and instead got Eric, who was quite a character. And Eric shared that he was one of the souls that was trapped in Strahd's cursed vat o' souls. I don't know if that's what Strahd calls it. That's what Eric calls it. It's got a certain ring to it. He shared with us that he died when he was cut up by Dr. Frankenstein. I was ready to get the hell out of there at this point, but of course, something always happens, and somebody comes bursting through the door of this house, just crying her eyes out. I could barely understand a word that came out of her mouth, and all I gathered was that her daughter went missing, and she was looking for assistance with finding her. I didn't necessarily want to do that either, but once again, our very kind accountant pointed out that we were trying to find a way out anyway. So I said, if we happen to stumble across this individual, we'll let you know. Izzy decided that he was going to bury his father's corpse and throw all the other ones onto the fire, which did not sit well with me. He's not my favorite person at all. But thankfully, we convinced him that all of them needed to be buried, and perhaps that would help at least a little bit with the undead problem that is happening right now.
It's a little tooting my own horn.
Yeah, it's a little tooting Garion's horn. So everybody get your hands off Garion's horn and just be impressed by everybody else. Is that an ordained cock? Apollo. Oh,
Let me
that
roll
was
a
a joke.
religion
That was a
check.
joke we were making before you hopped on the call.
Hey, let me
When
roll a religion
did your
check.
cock get ordained?
Is
What?
my penis
Ordained.
a priest? A prenis?
Oh,
Oh, it's an honor to meet you, Father.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Boy,
Okay.
I dropped a bit of aluminum inside of my drink, and now every time I take a sip, I have to be real careful.
Like from the tab, or
waiting to see if he's gonna choke.
So
Okay.
I have built up a habit of I take off the tabs of my drinks.
Don't do that. You're gonna cut the top of your lip.
Yeah, for sure.
I've
But
never once caught the t t cut the top of my lip.
it's gonna happen
Just
now.
the
But
tip.
like,
This little part that like connects it to the can, j it just fell in.
Ooh, the little tiny
Ooh.
piece.
I would never drink any
Hey,
more
maybe
than
you
the
should just get a
little
different
bit.
drink.
I would
Pour
get
it
a
into
different
a
drink.
cup. Yeah, just get
100% I've poured it into a
I
cup
could
and
pour it
yep.
into the cup, but the cups are all the way downstairs, and I'm so excited to play
Just
D&D.
clench your teeth so that the metal will just hit your tooth and it won't go in.
Like make a strainer.
I'm
Yeah,
gonna
make a
nightmares
strainer.
tonight.
Well, every time I take a sip, I just kind of swish it around, and if something hits my teeth real hard, I'm like, ah,
He's
metal.
constantly rolling initiative against this can.
You never know what
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to your soon-to-be world-famous Dungeons & Dragons role-play comedy podcast, Critically Stupid. I am Alexander James. I am your Dungeon Master. I'm your best friend. And I am your words goblin. I hoard them like they're my little treasure trove. And then every now and then I'll dispense a big one and make Garion confused. My favorite part of last episode, hands down, no contest, was when Diana said you wouldn't download a body. Or you wouldn't pirate a body, and I laughed so hard. It was so clean. It was one of the rare jokes we weren't stepping on each other to be funny, and it was fucking fantastic. So in honor of that, Diana, why don't you go next, please?
Hi, my name is Diana. I play Mel. I also have the wolf pup Joshua Patrick, Josh Pat J Peasy. My favorite part of last episode was Alex trying to do the like anime accent and like then very quickly realizing that this was not sustainable.
Pivoting to something else.
But I laughed a whole lot at and how you said like each time before you started to like recalibrate into it, you have to do the again. That was really funny for me. Apollo.
Hey y'all, my name is Apollo. I keep having to look at him as if I don't know this character sheet off by heart. I play Julian Ironblade, who's not an accountant. That's all that matters mechanically about
him. I'm sorry, Apollo.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
We just watched a tooth strainer happen in real time. And he went, bleh, bleh, I got it.
All right. Garion is not going to choke. Apollo, please continue with telling us about your delightful character and bits of last episode.
Yeah, his name is Julian. He's not an accountant. And
are you sure?
Kind of. I'll write it down in the backstory. And my favorite part of last episode is yet again another Alex moment of just the aggressively gay voice you put on for a ghost, which, hey, I'm not going to police anything. You do you, King. It was delightful. I love how much we all refused to engage with this character.
Honestly, for the best.
Speak for yourself. Probably. I was having a blast with Eric.
Apollo, you were blasting Eric?
That's what I heard at first, and then I was like, no, nope, that's wrong.
I was blasting the shit out of Eric.
Except it wasn't Eric's body, and like, I don't know, consent matter.
His soul. He did say he consented, and he was down. Anyway,
it wasn't his body to consent with.
Okay, if we're going to start arguing about the nature of consent in necromantic bodies, we're going to be here all night.
That's true.
As opposed to talking about the ethics of consent, Garion.
With dead people.
Hey, everybody. My name is Artemis, and I play Gareth. I also have the cat, who is a very
you
adorable
You wrote it
kitten.
On your hand?
It literally says, you have a cat.
It's the fucking lamest memento reference I've ever seen in my life.
Constance is a beautiful... Constance the kitten lives in my front pocket. He canonically looks like whatever you think the cutest kind of cat is, and he has a book of magic hats. Oh, my favorite part of last episode, and I hate to copy off of Apollo's homework here, the entire interaction with Eric. Maybe my favorite character in the whole show, including the player characters.
I'm gonna be so real. I have a line here in my notes that says, does my healing magic turn people gay? ?
There's a lot of variables as to why it was Eric that came through the door. I'm just real excited to dig into it together.
That would actually be so funny, though, if your healing magic turned people like temporarily, just the opposite of whatever
like,
sexuality they were when they died.
Like pink kryptonite for Superman, just
the fact
a little
that pink
bit
kryptonite
gay.
Exists is so fucking funny.
It's bad. Anyway.
Diana, please. Go next.
I already went.
Then in that case, Anthony.
I got skipped twice. No, okay. No one likes me. It's
sorry,
fine.
Anthony and Diana look so similar. I get them mixed up.
It's true. That's fair. Thank you. Hi, I'm Anthony. I play Arnold the Bard. My favorite part of last episode was Alex remembering that he had to do a German pretending or like trying to not be German. And he's like, because he was going pretty strong. I was like, I got this. And you can see he's like, oh, wait, I have to like, ooh, I'm gonna hold this back a little. And it was just, it was so good to watch Adolf just like, just
Adolphus, please.
But that was, it was two characters that I did not, and honestly, I also really liked Eric and I wanted to interact with Eric more, but I was like, it's not appropriate in the time, but we'll see him again.
If there's a vat of souls, can we find it and just shake it till Eric comes out?
It's like a magic, it's like a magic eight ball for the worst person ever.
I love how you sprinkle in important lore information in the most ridiculous conversations, because I'm laughing my ass off and then I'm like, wait, notes.
Okay. We are going to jump in as always with our improv cold open. And today, listen, guys, I know we make a lot of jokes. We tell a lot of goofs. We have a lot of fun here, but we have to remember that this is first and foremost a Christian-centered, family-friendly podcast. So I'm gonna request that we send jokes out of the room for a second. Really, really delve into our roots here.
Good. I've never been funny.
God damn it, Anthony. What did I just say? That was a joke. All right. We are going to build a holy symbol together. All right. Now, let's take a second. Let's get real serious. Diana, I'm going to give you the softball one right off the bat. All right. You don't have to name anything. You just have to tell me what it's made out of.
I'm sorry. I haven't drank in a really long time. So this is hitting. A holy symbol. Give me an example of a holy symbol so I know what I'm working off of.
An example of a holy symbol would be like a cross that somebody puts in front of them to ward off a vampire something that they like use to like a protective holy symbol.
All right, I got you. This one is made out of pink kryptonite.
Pink kryptonite. Okay, fantastic. Cool. I'm sure Marvel's not very litigious and they won't sue us for that.
It's made out of magenta kryptonite, actually, so it's not exactly the same. It's a little different.
Magenta kryptonite, okay.
Yeah, so it turns you bisexual.
Yeah.
Anthony, who owned this holy symbol before its current owner?
It was actually a thrift store owner in the town. Yeah, it was okay. Someone who is like a owner of a consignment shop. And she's something of a tinkerer, you know, she's like a sort of like a toy maker, like, mm-hmm. you know, Frankenstein for little objects, you know, so that's why she likes to take on like used items within, you know, in the city and put things together in a way and bring them together using, you know, various magics and also just the technologies that are, you know, disposal. But yeah, that's it.
Oh, wait, backtrack. Did you say pink kryptonite was Marvel?
No, I was wrong. And Apollo corrected me very, very quickly.
All right,
I like whenever if it's weeb related shit, Garen and I. If it's
it took a minute, but
otherwise
like
nerd, Anthony and I.
I thought about apologizing to Alex about
you
jumping
and I
down his throat about pronouncing the X in Hunter, and then I thought about no, he deserves it actually.
It's Hunter X Hunter. There's an X in it. Why would they put it there if they didn't want you to say it? Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked.
I have an idea. Let's fight.
Deanna, we'll figure something out to be mad to Alex about.
We'll get there.
Apollo.
Hi.
How did this holy symbol come to be in the valley?
In the valley?
Mm-hmm.
It was left behind by past adventurers who tried and failed to defeat Strahd.
Okay. I love
Hell
that.
Hell yeah.
Way to tie it in for Alex. We like to make it harder for him.
No, that was great, actually. I would say 95% of the reason that Apollo
Someone
was
from Waterdeep who was also avoiding taxes.
Interesting, okay.
And then died trying to fight Strahd.
It's just a W-9 form.
Okay.
They were applying for a 401k.
I still haven't done my taxes, you guys.
Gary, how is this holy symbol worn and or used?
I am so unbelievably glad you asked.
Never a good sign.
So, you know those butt plugs with like jewels on the end of it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And
no.
Do you know Goatsy?
I wish I didn't.
Goatsy is a picture on the internet. It's been around. Of
Why
just
are you explaining? Who doesn't know Goatsy? Why? Why? Who said who didn't?
Like,
you don't need to know. No, God. It's horrible.
All right, let me.
For the audio only listeners, Garen became Goatsy for a moment, just transformed wholeheartedly into Goatsy. It was incredible.
Now, what I'm trying to say is it is a butt plug that they fully have to pull down their pants and spread their cheeks open to reveal.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay.
So also, it was found in a skeletal corpse still in the like area, you know?
All right. So we have a magenta kryptonite butt plug that was brought into the valley by adventurers who were looking to avoid their taxes, attempting to defeat the Devil's Drod, failed, presumably. And it was owned previously by a Dr. Frankenstein-esque tinkerer who liked to like mess with materials and spells. Have I got that right?
This is different from Dr. Frankenstein.
Different guy. Okay, fantastic. We're going to leave the holy symbol
wherever. In that guy's butt.
In that guy's butthole. And we are going to open on the U4 Ding Dongs.
I'm sorry.
That's what?
I said the holy symbol.
The holy symbol. Really putting the hole in holy. Welcome to Critically Stupid, everybody. I'm so glad you're sticking with us so far.
If putting the hole in holy isn't one of the title options, I might actually fight you.
Okay. We're going to open on you walking beside Christina and Ismark as you guys approach the church in Barovia, the Kirk, the holy building. There are a handful of corpses on this wagon, one of whom is Mark and Christina's father, but there are other corpses picked up from this melee, this overnight siege that took over Barovia. There aren't that many. There's probably only five or so, but still a very somber occasion as Ismark and Christina lead them to the church to be buried. I'm going to take a second. So this church is set in the sort of outskirts of the village, because obviously the land that it requires for not only the graveyard, but the outbuildings and the sort of like church type activities requires a little bit more space. So you are traveling through the village. And as you walk, the looming presence of Castle Ravenloft is impossible to ignore, because this church is literally built in the shadow of this castle. The castle is built up on the valley wall, and as you approach the edge of this valley, you see that it is built on massive black basalt columns that are rooted in the earth that thrust upward like massive tree trunks, sort of like scrabbled and scratched with countless eons of bad weather and accidents and tree fall and scree debris. But the castle sits on top of these columns thousands of feet overhead, and it is impossibly big. It's thousands of rooms, it's turrets and towers and rounded roofs, and there are scalloped buttresses that have whole wings that look like they defy gravity and physics as they offshoot from this castle, and sort of like looming specters that hang with chains and lanterns. There are bats flying, because even in the early morning hours, as you guys start the day with this procession, it's somehow almost as dark as full nighttime. The sun is behind a thick bank of clouds. It's raining. Yes, Garion.
Is it silhouetted by lightning?
Not right now. I'm sorry.
You've let me down.
I've disappointed yourself and my family. It's a very spectral, haunted thing, and it's only made more ghoulish by the endeavor that you guys are undertaking, which is attempting to inter the bodies of the fallen with a holy rite so that they don't turn into the same zombies that plagued the village the night before. So...
Oh God! Imagine a full village of Erics. Nothing would ever get done.
As this wagon walks up to the church, you guys see that this church is pretty rough
because of all of the sex.
It's true.
I just wanted you to say it.
Eric fucks.
Eric fucks, dude.
Now, is Eric a top or a bottom?
Here's the thing: I have
no
idea.
Maybe he can switch.
Eric is absolutely a switch.
Yeah, come on.
Eric is either a switch or just like a very aggressive power bottom.
He's a power bottom. Yeah, he's powerful either way. You know,
I'm a big fan of the term power bottoms. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's how I opened a few of my recaps.
What's up, power bottoms? You've said it multiple times. As Ismark leads this procession to the church, you guys see that this church is in rough shape. It has huge holes in the top of the roof. There are sections of the wall that are crumbling down. The fence that is lining ostensibly this cemetery is broken in multiple places. There are shovels and fantasy weed whackers and like detritus sort of like littering the grounds. This whole building and outpost has lacked care in some time. And Ismark walks up to the door and knocks, and his knock sort of like echoes through the inside of this building. And you guys wait for that sort of telltale sign of like life on the other side or footsteps or a voice, but it's quiet. Out of the mist sort of surrounding the spectral scene, a hulking silhouette steps forward. It is a young man, tall, rippling with muscles. He's got shaggy brown hair that's sort of cut really clumsily. His teeth are sort of crooked and yellowing. And he's wearing a very simple tunic, but actually, Mel, you recognize this as the ripped fella that was throwing rocks at on the top of the catwalk.
I was actually wondering, because my other theory was that everyone in this town does a whole lot of CrossFit.
It's the same guy.
Because of the vampires, it's CrossFit.
God. I love you so
Remember
much.
Remember when we were talking about funny, Corny?
Fuck,
I kind of love it. I kind of love it.
So he looks to be about... Stop it!
I'm going to bump you up.
Feel the bum.
Counting reps.
One more rep.
Funnily enough, that's how Eric the Power Bottom sounds when he's doing his thing too. Feel the burn.
No, hey, if you're saying feel the burn during sex, get checked out.
Listen. Okay. Despite this person's size, Mel, he looks to be about like in his like late 20s. But he moves with the sort of like gangly awkwardness of somebody that is far, far younger than his size. And he looks at you and he fidgets with the
are younger
his...
than his size.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. Children aren't known for their muscles.
He's thinking like a teenage puppy, like you know, like too like
yeah,
unnaughty,
like he's,
right? Like
he's
awkward.
Like his okay. Limbs. He
no, I get it now. Anthony put it into dog terms for me, so I get it now.
But he fidgets with the edge of his tunic and he says, "He won't come out."
It's okay. It's 2024. It's perfectly fine.
You come out in your own time.
It's not a weird sexual thing. He just won't come out. He refuses.
We're gonna have a 20-minute conversation about what's weird about it. And
yeah, what's weird? Why is it weird?
It's just so weird that he just won't come out.
You know what? He's coming from a church. This makes sense.
Fair.
Who's he? What? Hey, we're using the pronoun to replace a noun. What noun are we replacing?
Father Donovan, or Donnie, as he likes, as he sort
continue.
Of likes. He
oh, prefers, like the Ninja Turtle.
He prefers well,
why,
Donnie.
Why won't he come out? Is they're dead to be buried?
I have no. We sort of seen him for 2 weeks. He sort of refuses to speak to people.
You haven't seen him for 2 weeks. He's dead. He's dead.
Is he inside?
He might hit you. Probably. Yeah.
What's left of him is
have you seen him eat or leave the building for 2 weeks?
Presumably there's some sort of instant ramen situation in there.
I was gonna say, is he a chipmunk, squirrel, or some other woodland creature?
Is he hibernating for the
winter? Yeah.
We've previously stated that he's a turtle.
Can we go in? If he won't come out, can we go in?
And knock yourself out, you know. I'm not gonna stop you.
Is there some reason why you haven't gone in to check on him?
Will Atticus, don't fuck with no weirdness.
I think as soon as this guy says that you can try, Gareth just goes to open the door.
Really quick, I do want to specify that this person's name is Will Atticus. That is based off of one of our Twitter people that tagged us in a post. That's Will at Quandary3. Remember, everybody, if you tag us in a post on Twitter, you can end up as an NPC in the show. I'm doing this now instead of wasting time in the mid-roll because it's not worth all that much time. Will, thank you so much. Gary.
I need to text somebody. I tried to open the door. Is it locked?
It is locked, but you can tell Gareth. I mean, I'm not even going to require perception.
Not locked for long, I'll tell you that.
The lock mechanism for this thing is like... a joke.
Okay, yeah, I cough on it lightly and it springs open.
All right, roll me a sleight of hand check. And as you do this, Christina. Yeah, Christina says, "Oh, I'm not sure about this. I don't think we should be breaking into a church."
Or no, we're not breaking in. He gave us permission.
He said specifically to go in. And can I look at Will and say, hi, you know, so what do you do here?
Oh, I'm sort of, I work for my uncle, Bill Draff. He's got the mercantile shop in town. And then I'm sort of the muscle. Everybody's sort of, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but I do have muscles. I do hit the stones every now and then. So I'm sort of the big man around campus.
And of course he works in CrossFit. Every fucking CrossFit bro finds a way to work in that they do fucking CrossFit.
Yeah. Garion.
I got a 22 on sleight of hand.
Okay. Yeah. The lock almost falls off the door.
Cool.
But Arnold, more germane to the conversation, Will says, and I sort of do odd jobs around the church for Father, but I haven't seen him for 2 weeks. So I've been sort of lurking, trying to get in there and sort of see if he's okay. But I mean, I can't. And then I think that's the moment where Gareth sort of like clicks the lock and he says, do that.
Nice. So I want to say to him, like, do you mind if we have some work to do? You know, there are these bodies, unfortunately. Do you mind if we try to contact the, you know, your boss up there or wherever he is? Where is he, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, if he's, I think he's in there, sort of being sad or whatever.
Well, why is he sad?
To whom is this church dedicated to? What divinity?
It's the Morning Lord. This
tell guy. Us about his holy symbol.
It's funny you should ask. We don't actually get to see it all that often.
I'm so glad you asked. I've never had this opportunity.
for the audio only listeners, once again, Gareth decided to become.
Yeah, if you're listening on Spotify, you're missing out. Check it out on YouTube. You've seen my butthole twice so far.
He just showed us his full ass, man.
YouTube.com/@critstupid.
I bet we'd get more viewers if we said I was showing mine.
For the audio only listeners, Diana is showing her entire butthole.
I'm naked when we record all of these.
Let's just hit the whole spectrum. So Apollo just bent over once again to be like, here's this holy symbol.
Whole spectrum?
Okay.
Calling it?
Mine's a little bit darker.
Will says, We don't get to see it all that often. He sort of keeps it. The father likes to keep it sort of secret, sort of special. We do see it once a year, obviously for Easter, for canonical Easter that exists in this world.
So not Jesus. Only the existence of Easter implies the existence of Jesus and the implication of Jesus being crucified on some sort of fantasy cross.
Well,
who needs a cross when you have?
And that's what started CrossFit, not Christianity. CrossFit.
I'm not sure what your sort of Jesus Jesus sort of figure is, but the Morning Lord is cool as tits. And anyway, I've got to go because the spectral hand sort of controlling me like a meat puppet is real tired of doing this accent. So I'm gonna just go. And then he fades backwards into the mist and disappears.
I thought it was one of your better accents, but
I loved it. And I had so many questions good. For him, but I understand.
Gareth waves. So, bye, Quandrius. Love you.
The door to this chapel swings in, and it is eaten by shadow and neglect. The pews are rotten and fallen. Some of them have clearly been like hacked apart, like with some sort of like rusty implement. And you can smell smoke, and you can hear a muffled speaking coming from the sort of depths.
Would I be able to entering this space now? Julian mechanically is part cleric. Mm-hmm. He doesn't experience his clerical like abilities from connection to divinity, but I do think that he has a connection to divine power.
Sure.
Would I be able to just try get a vibe for this place? Because Barovia as a whole so far has read as Barovia and the Shadowfell have always read to him as separated. He knows that there are gods of the Shadowfell, mm-hmm. but especially like the Morning Lord, who is not one of them, not a native god of the Shadowfell. I think he just, and seeing the state of disrepair this place is in, I think he's just kind of like, is this place even holy still?
Mm. Well, he's doing that plot important stuff. Gareth is going to look for valuables.
All right, Apollo, give me a religion check, please. Gareth, give me an investigation check.
Oh, I have to fucking open D&D Beyond again because
Anthony, you hear a very quiet voice just behind
you. I was just gonna ask you, can I like generally look around? I want to take in like what I'm seeing and see if there's, you know, like what this place is. That's absolutely. I'm interested.
You hear a very quiet voice, like an inch behind your right ear.
Okay.
As Will goes, yeah, I'm sorry that I had to go. I know you had a bunch of questions that you want answered, but I'm real shy. So don't turn around. But so if you want to ask him, just look ahead, look straight.
So I look straight.
You
I don't
look straight exactly.
I broaden my shoulders and I'm just like.
And you pop the collar of your turtleneck.
I put on aviator shades.
And that's second dick.
About the Republicans.
Yes, I'm wearing khakis, socks, and sandals, and just like vote. Like I have a Florida flag on me somewhere.
Fort Lauderdale. Anyway,
we're back in Florida.
Okay, let's do
26.
It. 26 for Apollo. Julian, this building is bereft of religious presence. It is for all intents and purposes cold as the corpses you've got stacked in the wagon.
Oh, I rolled a 19 for investigation.
Gareth, this place is dry as a bone as far as valuables. Not only are there like no shiny things, which is like huge bummer for you personally, but there's also very little of the sort of like ornate pageantry that comes with a church. You know, not necessarily rich as a terms of material wealth, but you've been to churches before. I think some have been part of your scores. So you would know that they have like tapestries and carpet, and there's sort of like not necessarily things that are easily sold unless you're in a dry spell and you need to make some quick cash, but they've at least got a little zhuzh to them. But this place has like bare cobblestones on the ground, broken plain windows, no stained glass. The altar is just a table, you know what I'm saying? So like this church has not seen the love of man or God in some time.
Gareth turns to leave and then remembers that we're trying to talk to somebody and then turns back around. It was just kind of like a knee-jerk reaction.
Just a knee-jerk to get the fuck out of there.
Oh yeah, no loot in there.
What's your first straight question?
So I don't know much about religions and that sort of things. But I'm very curious, what is this? Who is this morning father person that you're talking about? Morning daddy. Tell me who the morning daddy is.
So the morning daddy, Lord of the Morning Wood.
Yuck.
I don't actually know. The Father Donnie, he's the guy, he's the religious figure. I'm just sort of the guy that helps around. Every now and then Father lets me sort of help with the prayers, but I'm gonna be very honest. I get a lot of the words mixed up. And so he doesn't let me help all that much because I get embarrassed and sort of tongue tied when everybody looks at me. And when I mess up the prayers and people look at me more and then I mess them up more. So I don't really know. I know that we sort of pray to him, sort of for the general good things, sun, harvests, good luck and good fortune. But as you can see that we haven't had any of that sort of shit in some time. I'm sorry for swearing. I'm really sorry.
No, of course.
My baby.
I understand. And honestly, you don't have to be embarrassed. Like, performance doesn't come naturally to everyone. And, you know, it does take, you know, practice makes progress.
Sometimes you get nervous. And listen, maybe you finish your sermon earlier than expected. And you're like, this doesn't always happen.
Okay, Apollo. Back to the sort of top of the metaphorical order. This church is cold and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And you want churches to be hot and wet. Everybody knows that.
Naturally. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Okay. Yeah, Alex, I think I'm just smitten, going to bro. What?
Alex is gonna get smited if he keeps <showing up>, bro. He's gonna make one more church joke about it being hot and wet and then he explodes on camera.
Just turns into a pillar of salt like Old Testament Sodom and Gomorrah exactly. Style.
Yeah. I fuck with Sodom.
Okay, but
not
next.
Gamora.
what is Gamora? Anyway, thank you. So you're walking around, yeah, not feeling any sort of divine energy in this place. He is just going to look for, can he find anything that would have it? So even if it's not active, holy symbols, artworks, anything on an altar, the altar itself, any, if this was an archaeological site, what would he find that would suggest that this was ever a church?
I got you.
That's a really good way to phrase that question, actually. Whoa.
I like that a lot. Walking down the sort of like nave of this church towards the crux, the smell of smoke gets stronger, and the muffled voice that you hear sharpens into distinct syllables and words. And it is the voice of somebody who is praying desperately and rapidly and under their breath, with the sort of fervor that only somebody really, really up against a wall can pray. As you turn a corner, you see the figure of a broad-shouldered older man, bald. He's got a simple homespun robe. His head is bowed, but he doesn't have any sort of like religious artifact or symbol or anything in his hands. His hands are
none that we can see.
Pressed against the cobbled stone. But notably, Julian, he is not facing the crux of the church or the altar. He is facing a simple broken out window that is looking out over the cemetery grounds.
I'm just going to slowly approach.
I'll go with him.
Okay. Arnold slowly. And Mel, really quick, what are you guys up to?
Mel has just kind of been taking it all in. I guess she's just kind of walking around with JP to see if he reacts to anything in particular that she might want to check out further. So I suppose it's possible he followed Gareth and Apollo, unless there was something else that you think JP would have reacted to.
Actually, really quick, it's great that you mentioned Joshua Patrick, Josh Pat, JPZ, because he does notice something in the beginnings of the grounds that sort of like sprawl out to this cemetery type thing. There is a set of carved stone stairs that lead into the ground, interred just past one side of this picket fence. And he starts snuffling and sniffling around there, making those sort of like little yips that indicate excitement, but not necessarily a threat yet. It's one of those dog emotions that can turn on a dime kind of thing.
Mm.
So real quick for the audience, Constance Connie the kitten is not helpful for stats or anything useful. However, he does put on the hat that popes wear. Flips to the page in his book, right there.
100% how I was picturing him before you even said anything about Constance.
Yep. FYI. So I like to imagine that like Arnold would also be like snuffling and following JP. But I do want to ask, is there any sort of like pipe organ or any sort of like instrument in the building that would have been played, like a piano? Or...
Is it one of those boring churches that don't play music and they just say all the prayers like words?
You look in there, Arnold, and you see a little alcove in the nave that could have one time held some kind of instrument, organ, piano. You're not quite sure because it's fully empty and dusty. You know, like it, just like Julian's check earlier to see like how much of this church itself is still left. The music that haunted the bones of this building was evaporated a long time ago.
That's fair. So with an empty heart and full disappointment, I walk forward with JP and just follow him.
Give me a perception check, please, Arnold and Mel, actually, as I imagine you're not letting your dog go around without you.
Of course not.
While they're rolling that, Gary, what did you want to say? Sorry.
So taking note of how like old and dilapidated this church is, would I be able to get a ballpark for how long it's been since the church was in its top shape?
That would be I'm going to say history check, which is not a check Gareth makes pretty regularly.
True. Okay, and Gareth got a 14 plus 1 is 15.
15. Arnold and Mel, what'd you guys get on your perception?
19.
Whoa.
I forgot I roll better when I drink.
Nice. I got an 18.
Okay.
I do, Apollo. You can see, like, if you watch the other.
Oh, no, you chart the stats. It's pretty great. Okay, gotcha. Arnold and Mel, at the bottom of these steps, they don't go too far, maybe like 15 to 20 feet down in a sort of, well, I guess that is quite far. They go 15 to 20 feet underground, but they end at a very new door, like still peeling with sap new, the brass and sharp iron fittings on the very expensive looking lock, brand new. And there's actually a little signature in the top right corner if you guys want to peel in and see. But Gareth,
the plastic off.
Ooh, that's a cool vibe. Gareth, this church has it's been at least 5 years since these holes in the roof appeared. I mean, like, there are like birds nesting in the holes. You know what I mean? Like, this church has not been in what you would consider decent shape for a long, long time. Now, as far as like how long it's been in use, that's harder to say.
Well, let me tell you, you have this above table cut it out if you want. The reason I'm asking is, did this church fall into disrepair at the same time that Strahd showed up to the valley?
I don't think you would have any way of knowing that. You're going to have to speak to Julian under table to sort of suss that out.
Okay. I think so. Gareth, looking around the church, and before we approach the praying man, he'll quietly lead over to Julian and be like, "Hey, you weren't paying attention when they said what time the evil castle guy came to this valley, were you? Because the timing may have worked out here. I'm thinking this may not be quite a coincidence."
I'm not about to metagame with what I know. Yeah. Can I roll a history check?
You sure can, buddy.
Thank you.
Across the cemetery grounds, Mel and Arnold, what would you, if anything, like to do with the discovery of this door?
Can I go, like, I want to go closer to the door. Do I notice anything about it?
Give me an investigation check again. Let's see what your elf eyes see.
All right. Does JP sniffling and snoofling around the door, does his demeanor change at all? Does he seem concerned or still just excited?
He is definitely alerted at the door, and he is snoofling specifically, Mel, at the bottom of the door where there is a brief space where he can smell what's behind it, and he is definitely interested in what's going on back there.
Nice.
Just give me the word and I'll come help.
Well, I was gonna ask if it's locked.
Yeah, I got a 20. I got a 21.
Yes, Mel, it is for sure locked. 21, Arnold, there is a tiny inscription on the upper right part of this, the metal fastening of this door, that says Bildrath, with sort of like a swoopy signature.
I've heard that before. Fuck.
Well, he's the dude of the tavern.
It was the rough dude at the tavern. It is also apparently the uncle of Will Atticus, who works on the church grounds.
Big fan.
All right, let's go to Julian.
That was a 26 on the history.
This church has fallen into disrepair in the last like handful of years, and the demon Strahd has had complete control over not only this valley but this domain for time since books were invented. So the timing is not convenient.
Okay. Okay. Well, from what I've gathered about from the past research I did about the Shadowfell and the domains, they pop up around an individual that is made to be punished. Sometimes full areas of the world are pulled away into the Shadowfell. Other times, a domain will be crafted around a person. Barovia may be the first one ever.
Oh, good.
Genuinely, hundreds and hundreds of years, I cannot give you an exact number because records haven't gone that far back.
Okay.
And anyone who would have those records is likely dead.
Okay.
Probably quick, dead quick, here. Quite
quick
honestly.
Follow-up question.
Hmm.
So the...
But this church, recent. Okay. I would give it last few years, maybe last five or
fantastic.
So.
Okay. Quick follow-up question about the domain and the punishment. Is this demon we've been hearing about, Strahd, is he part of the punishment or is he the one being punished? Do you know? Or do you have a guess?
I don't know much about Barovia specifically. I know that with other domains of dread, they are controlled by a dark lord, is what they're referred to usually as. And they are both the master of the domain and also the prisoner and being... The creature being tortured here.
I didn't realize this was as kinky a campaign as it is, but I'm into
it's just Strahd tied up in one of the BDSM things.
Okay. I'm gonna step
why
in.
Why you order?
I'm gonna step in before we make Apollo reveal how much he really knows about this campaign. You,
thank God.
Julian and Gareth, and anybody else who is in the church, you hear a muttered voice come from this bent figure. And he says in a quietly desperate voice, I cannot offer the blessing you seek. Go. Leave this accursed place in peace.
Does he give any sign that he's talking to us, or do we think that he's still just part of his prayer?
The prayer stops. So with this, its silence fills the church.
Was that the voice of a god?
No, it was the voice of this guy. He has stopped praying and is now talking to you.
Sir, hello. My name is Julian Ironblade. Pleasure to meet you.
I'm Gareth.
That's Gareth. There's also, Anthony.
I mean,
I have a podcast called We Have Issues. It's youtube.com/wehaveissuespodcast. You should check it out sometime. I also write comic books. It's the whole thing. I don't know why I'm here in Barovia. I guess I'm also being tortured. It makes sense. My life's not great.
Arnold is at the door.
I'm guiding both Arnold.
Like, where am I? Help!
I'm guiding both Anthony. We also have Arnold and Mel. They're elsewhere.
Wisely left real Diana in the real world.
That's too much power.
You brought
Barovia,
Anthony
man.
In for a brief look, but we kept Diana where she is. And I honestly
actual Anthony shows up, I immediately shoot him.
Thank you.
Are you all right? What blessings are you referring to?
I know that there was a sort of attack on the village last night, just like there was an attack every night, and I know that you are come here to bury your dead. I assumed that it would happen at some point. I know that the boy, I forget his name, his father's son, I know that he has been burning the bodies.
That
because
fucking narrows it down. Sorry.
If you could not swear in this once holy house, I would appreciate it. It doesn't make it easier.
You're right. I apologize. For
I mean,
my
it makes eyes. Us feel better, though.
No. And psychologically, it doesn't.
That way, it
easier,
does make
physically.
You feel better.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. Sucks. I'm just kidding.
Fucking studies.
Fuck that shit. It sucks here. Yeah. So,
you're goddamn right.
Okay.
Wait. No. Wait. Hold on.
He says. I assumed that at some point you would be here. To seek blessings, but I must tell you that I sit before you just as a man. My holy powers have been, well, you could say lost, you could say taken from me, you could say given away. What matters is that I am unable to perform the rite that you are here to request.
Well, fortunately, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Paul.
May I ask, Father?
It's actually Daddy.
Nope. No, it's not.
Let's bring the conversation back to where I'm at.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Quick.
That's a fair point.
Where did your god go?
My god is exactly where he has always been. He is in my heart and the heart of the faithful. What matters is my ability to reach him, the conduit that I use to reach out and feel his holy presence. It is
a pacemaker?
It is with some...
Well, I was gonna ask, did this relic not have a flared base? Is this like a medical?
It disappeared. No one can reach it any longer.
You said it was lost.
Unfortunately, I put my holy object up there and it just hasn't come out yet.
I cast lube on my fist. I'm like, I can
cast
find it.
Lube.
Is that a spell?
Well, there's a spell called grease.
Whoa.
Jeez.
Do not use grease. Hey guys, this is a critically.
I put on a glove, I cast grease.
For the audio only listeners, Apollo
do not
grease.
Use grease as lube.
Let me root around in their father. I'll get it.
Yeah, the father says, "Yes, I know that it looks like I am prostrate because I am praying, but in reality, if I make one movement, it's going to go all the way up to my rib cage."
I have cure wounds. Like, I can probably figure something
South
out.
Park.
No, he says,
I have mending. I cast mending on his asshole.
You're going to need it. Yeah.
Has mending to seal the crack?
If I could be very, very honest with you, you seem like adventurous folk who I can trust. And not only because we're 45 minutes into character. This episode and I need to kind of move these things along, but a horrible, horrible misfortune has befallen my house. And I live in shame before you. And I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm going to real quick. I'm so sorry that your God has, you know, we do need to bury the dead. And unfortunately, if you cannot bless them, that's a bummer, but can we still, you know, bury them? Because dead people in the street isn't a good look.
I'll tell you this above table, Gareth, operating rules of church in this sort of fantasy setting, you can bury them in the ground all you want, but unless you get the holy rite, they're going to come right back up through that same ground.
I thought you were gonna say, like, with this city, bummer means a different thing considering what the holy
religion is. That's a real bummer. A bummer.
Where?
A
bummer. Not without Greece. Okay. The father stands up and looks at you, and his face is haggard, Julian. This dude has gone many, many nights without sleep. He has deep cobalt bags under his eyes. His cheeks are sunken. His skin
he just
is
needs a long rest. Look at his spell slots back.
Ashy.
He's probably really uncomfortable though. Like,
he is not walking very fast. And
how's he walking?
Low and slow, bestie. And he says,
"Real uncomfortable, huh?
My son." Doru, I recovered him in one of these raids. He went with the Kolyanovich boy on his horrible rebellion. And I during one of the attacks, like 10 days ago, I saw my son attacking a building, and I managed to capture him, and I gave him the gift of my holy symbol to try and protect him.
Your own son,
from to protect him from
the demon. Hold still, boy. This is for your own good.
Just finding his undead son, being like, I know what'll help. Yeah,
and I don't know. I fear that he has allowed the sickness, the devil himself to eat his mortal soul. And I've to my shame, I have him locked in beneath the graves.
In what state is your son?
I beg your pardon?
In what state is your son? At what various level of undeath are we talking about?
Somewhere in between?
Thank you so much for asking. Colorado.
Which state is he in? Fuck you.
The state of undeath of Colorado. The great state of undeath, Colorado.
There are actually 51
states. This is a family friendly joke. I just wanted to sprinkle a little PG humor.
If it makes you feel better, I liked it despite following it up with fuck you.
All right, let's take a quick key break. Let's take a quick key break and we'll come back and resolve this. Dude, you guys can wait until I'm done and all right, fuck it. We're done there. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to your sponsored post for today's episode. And I'm going to tell you right now, we came in fresh. We didn't need a first take to get to this ad. This is our first one. This one right here. You don't need to worry.
We're that good. Super
I'm not allowed to talk.
Yeah, put some more chips in your mouth.
More chips in the mouth.
Garion, if you could please, tell me about a time that a Libris Arcana set of dice allowed you to turn into a river naiad and drown a fisherman.
You know what? I'm actually so glad you asked. I was trying an experiment with the Libris Arcana dice. You know how rocks in a river will eventually be smoothed by the current over time?
Yes.
I was trying to see if I put this ancient iron D20 in the bottom of a river, if it would eventually turn into a smooth marble. And while I was watching it, it takes a long time. It took a while. This punk-ass fisherman was like, excuse me, you can't put dice in the river. So I took all my Libris Arcana ancient iron dice, put them in a little sack, and beat him with it, and I hid the evidence. And luckily for me, Ancient Iron is one of Libris Arcana's lovely metal dice, which have a really nice weight to them. Made it really easy.
If you would like to abuse one of your stranger's friends or loved ones with Libris Arcana dice, Anthony, where could our lovely listeners go to do that?
Oh, it's very easy. You just go to LibrisArcana.com, where you can find all sorts of incredible dice of all types. You can find resin dice and metal dice to do the things that you were suggesting people could possibly do. Or you could use them for gaming activities like, you know, just tabletop Obviously. Role-playing games. Who knows? There are a lot of things. I'm not going to make any judgments right now, but you go to LibrisArcana.com and that's exactly where you can find those dice.
Apollo, what's that exclusive discount code that they can use for our show to get 20% off anything site-wide?
Oh, Jesus, you love to hear it. It's super 20. So you just go to the little checkout and you're like, hey, before I leave, let me just tell you something. And you go in and you whisper, stupid 20. And then you'll get a little funky little discount.
You do also stupid have to 20. Type it. Like, you can whisper it to your keyboard.
You could.
Monitor.
All right. Now, I'm bad at spelling, believe it or not. I teach English as a day job. Bus, STUPID 20, STUPID. 20.
Libris Arcana, dice for life.
Keep eating chips, Diana.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We are fresh from our bathroom break, and no jokes happened in the interim, as you can tell. We are here. We saved all of our best jokes for you, like a person saving themselves for prom night. And we're going to open back in this church with Father Donovich, or Donnie, or maybe Donovan, whatever his name is. Father Donnie, Donovan. Talking to Julian and Gareth. And I think Mel and Arnold, you guys have trickled in now after having discovered the store.
I was actually going to ask about that. Like, how much would we have heard like down there? Would we hear, does it echo through the church enough for us to have caught a good amount of that? Or
no, I think you guys popped up from the staircase around
I'd
the
be,
time.
I'd be going to get Gareth to do the picky with the lock.
The picky lock. Yeah,
yeah, I feel like you guys would have popped up in time to hear him talk about his son and seeing his son in this sort of raiding.
And Mel's going to turn to Arnold and be like, it's a good thing we can't pick locks because we would have let loot the...
So Gareth heard the word pick locks and he was like, huh, what? What's up?
Don't do it.
Excuse me? Is there a lock somewhere?
Behind that door, what I'm hearing behind that door is Colorado. So we're just going to leave it.
That was a really nice. Funny joke. Hey, guys, I'm just going to defend myself and say that was a pretty funny joke.
The great undead state of Colorado.
Okay, so Gareth is immediately tunnel visioned on a locked door because, God damn it, he hates locked doors and just leaves the conversation to go mess with the door. We can get back to me rolling for sleight of hand whenever the conversation's actually done.
Okay. I don't feel like Mel would let you leave now that she's Colorado's behind that door. She would 100% stop you from opening that door and being like, you
hang on. Wait. So does Gareth actually go downstairs back to the door?
I mean, I guess I try, but if Dinah like grabs me by the collar, that's what.
Let's say Gareth is walking past you guys in the church. You guys are coming in. He's going out.
So I would say like, hey, Gareth, where are you going? There's a locked door down there.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I picked up those words like sharks pick up blood in the water.
Speaking of blood in everywhere, I'm pretty sure I heard something as we were walking upstairs. Like, there's a zombie. Like, that might be like a zombie in there. I don't know.
Well, there are a lot of zombies out there too. So you
that's
know,
that's fair. Nothing. Actually, hey Gareth, I've been wanting to try something. I haven't really gotten a chance to like stretch these abilities. Let me go down there with you. Let's do this.
All right.
I will not save you two if you open that door.
Okay, so like when we get down there, can I cast clairvoyance on the door, like behind the door? It says like I can cast it like through a closed door that I'm not familiar with.
That's
were you trying to make us an unsplit party and we just split again?
Nah, it's fine. I'll just go fuck myself, honestly. Let me look up how clairvoyance works really quick, Arnold. Concentration, invisible sensor within range, location familiar to you,
or
an obvious location that is unfamiliar with you. Sensor remains for the duration. You can choose seeing or hearing. Yeah, I think this door obeys all of the rules necessary for that. So, do you choose seeing or hearing?
I'm gonna go seeing. I'm gonna see what's beyond that door.
You cast the spell just behind the door, and you are looking in a very, very dark room. The stairs dwindle maybe like another 5 feet before emptying into an undercroft, Arnold. There are stone pillars sort of supporting it from the weight of the heavy, dead-laden earth above. And
Hang on. But when I see it, I say like, I've got hungry eyes.
Fantastic.
When I see you, there is no surprise, you know. Okay.
Garrett has no reaction to this. This is very normal for Arnold.
Okay, that's pretty fair. Julian. You see a handful of knickknacks down there, Arnold. Clearly, this undercroft was once upon a time used for like storage, like boxes, barrels, etc. But the shadows are so thick, especially from like just behind the door. I don't think you pick up too much.
Okay, so I can't see if there's anyone in there.
They're not within the like the 15 feet around the door. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
I think Julian will. No, you go. No, you finish.
Okay. I was gonna say. So, like, I look at Gareth and I just say, "I'm pretty sure there's no one in this room."
I'm pretty sure there is. Hey.
Hey guys.
Are we down
father
there?
Said that
we there now. I'm sorry. Did we follow those two, or are we still?
For simplicity's sake, I intend to lockpick the door, and I will wait until everybody's done talking with Father Donovan.
Okay. Perfect.
Or Donnie.
I think I'm done talking to him.
Okay, great.
So I'm happy to say that I'm done.
So everybody's in front of the door.
Yeah. I say, whatever's in there is some undead version of Father Donovan's son. So it might be clinging to the shadows.
But imagine there's treasure in there.
Julian, what do you know about, like, holy relic? He said he gave it to... That he gave it to his son. Like, is that something that we would be able to acquire with or without the grease spell to, like, give it back so he could have the thing? I'm sorry, I've been drinking. You know what I'm trying to ask? What do you know about?
Technically, any item can be consecrated, but a holy relic has a spark within it. That spark might be able to be reignited. We might be able to help the father.
Sometimes you gotta recharge it.
Stop. But yeah, there's potential here. So if we're able to help, it might be a road worth going down. Now, I can cast a simple light spell, go in there and try to, I'm happy to be bait if the rest of you can.
Julian, first of all, I applaud your newfound bravery. This is incredible to see.
I don't like it here. And if me being brave is what takes us getting out, I'll do it.
So, okay, I just want to knock on the door. Like, I'm just going to bang on the door. Like, while my clairvoyance is on, you know, I want to bang on the door, see if anything comes forward.
This goes against everything the Gareth Stealth School teaches, and Gareth freaks the fuck out.
You can't fucking knock on the door. I'm about to lockpick. What are you doing?
I have a question for Arnold that's not really related, but I just thought of it since he's being friendly and knocking on doors. Are you still getting tattoos of all your friends, or are you out of real estate?
Like I have a couple that I had to get rid of because they're no longer friends, and they became like twins that were kind of not evil twins,
that was weird.
But also evil twins. And I was like, do I get two tattoos of the same person? And I was like, I'm not going to get any tattoos. I'm going to get rid of those people because they're not as friendly as I thought they were. And I get really upset about it for a moment.
It's like when somebody writes happy birthday on a card and they start happy too big and they got a slim down birthday. The first faces that Arnold got were like regular size, and since then he's had to really shrink them down.
Really shrink them down.
Okay.
For sure.
I was just wondering if you're like, are you gonna get it like tattoos of anybody in Barovia that you've met?
Oh, that guy gave me, I mean, there was one guy who gave me drinks. He was very kind. I have this dagger. What was it? A hammer? What did I have?
A dagger.
It's a dagger.
Yeah, I took the guy's hammer.
Yeah, so I was that guy who gave me a dagger, I'm getting a tattoo as soon as I find a tattoo shop in Barovia. Barovia. That guy's amazing.
Let's do this. I want to introduce an element to this campaign that I think could be powerful and fun. It's a very simple concept, but I want to try introducing flashbacks for myself and for you guys to do something or accomplish something that didn't necessarily happen on quote-unquote camera. So I want to do my first one right here, and I'm going to do a flashback with Julian to about 30 seconds ago. Flashback. As Julian was leaving the church, Father Donovan put his hand on your shoulder and looked at you with his haggard eyes and said, "Please, if there's any humanity left in my son, please save him." And he pressed a rusty iron key into your palm. and then let you go about your way.
Hang on.
Thank God it was the key that was left you. Fuck, man, it scared me, dude.
I love this. I like the flashback idea.
I do like the flashback idea too. No, it's a good thing.
But it gives also you guys the ability to sort of like give yourself a little canonical edge as to why something would happen. But anyway.
I just turn to the group and I say, I would like us to try help this boy, whatever state he may be in. If we can restrain him, get the holy item off of him, the father might be able to reconnect and save him.
Arnold, you knock on the door, and you see a ghostly collection of limbs approach the edge of the shadows at the bottom of this undercroft. Tall, pale, gangly, and you see the ragged edges of a face just buried in shadow. So you can't quite make out the details, but there is something down there and it is humanoid.
Okay, so is the door open already?
No, the door is currently closed. Julian just has a key.
Gotcha.
Are we back at doors?
Diana.
I will step forward and just put the key in the keyhole and just like, Gareth, are you ready to go?
Gareth stops him. Oh. Hold on. I got okay. This. And I'm going to try lockpick the lock.
It would be so easier.
No. Roll a slide of hand check, Gareth.
If I fail it, then you can try the key. But no, shh.
Okay, if this brings you joy.
You're goddamn right. It brings me joy.
Oh, wait. Quick detail. I'm so sorry. Apollo, I said the key that the father put in your hand was rusty. It's actually brand new. I'm so sorry.
Lovely.
Like still shining, still greased.
Gareth got a
9 + 9 = 18.
All right, we were gonna get here eventually, Gareth. You and me, at some point in the however many episodes we rolled up together, this was going to happen. It doesn't work, Gareth.
Gareth kills himself on the spot.
I cast Revivify. I seal the diamonds. He puts the lockpicks in.
Hey, girl.
He puts the lockpicks in. One of them snaps. He's like, all right.
No,
but real talk, Gareth is like genuinely crestfallen.
I will tell you this, Gareth, it's not by lack of skill. You know how good you are at picking locks. You picked hundreds of them. This is just a very new sort of differently complex lock than you're used to.
Yeah, newfangled tech.
Yeah, exactly.
Goddamn AI lock.
It's the ChatGPT lock.
I use the key.
It opens. The door opens. It swings open.
Gareth throws a fucking tantrum. He's on the ground.
Who's going down first?
Well, I mean,
Julian did open the door, so if he
and he volunteered
first, Gareth would volunteer.
I'm truly physics wise, I opened the door. I have to be in.
Okay.
So before he goes in, like Arnold would say, like, hey, there's, I know we all know that there's something down there, but I did just see it just peeking through the shadow. So it's not as far away as we think it could possibly be. There is something in there.
I think Mel would hang back a little because she's better with a ranged weapon, as we all know. And she doesn't care for the undead things and thinks that things that are dead should remain dead and people just need to deal with their fucking grief.
Or the living things.
I will say, before I fully open the door, I'm just going to say, good luck in there. And I'm going to cast Bless on everyone.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the concept you've been... Whenever you make an attack roll or saving throw before the spell ends, you can roll an additional d4 to whatever you rolled to the attack roll or saving throw.
Nice.
Okay, man, we should have had a cleric in our first part.
Yeah.
No joke. All right. Apollo, you walk into this undercroft as Julian, and you hear first a young man's voice that is strained and so tired echo from the darkness and say, "You've come to kill me, ain't you?"
Little.
I've come to try to save you. That sounds like in a religious preachy way. No, actively, you're undead, and that's bad, ideally. If your father can reconnect with his deity, that would be ideal.
From the darkness, a figure unfurls itself, sort of like a moth from a cocoon, or a butterfly, if you will. its limbs are long and gangly, and it moves with sort of the uncoordinated grace of a spider. But it walks into the faint light. But all right, let me ask you this. Are you guys bringing light down with you, or are you just relying on the light coming in from the sort of like above steps?
I mean, I can see in the dark.
I feel... Hey, Julian, do you have dark vision? Because historically speaking, Gareth has been the only motherfucker who can't see in the dark.
No, I do have a big-ass shield strapped to my back, and I will just cast the light cantrip on it, so I just have, like, a light on me.
Okay.
Am I perfect. Walking?
Sounds light? Good to me.
A figure walks into your radius of light, Julian, but very notably not into the radius of the light spooling from the opening at the top of the steps. It is a young man. His features are strikingly reminiscent of Father Donovan from upstairs. His skin is pale to the point of like bleached. There's grime streaked across his face. He has dark chestnut curly hair that sort of like hangs down to his shoulders. And his eyes are bloodshot. And as he speaks, he licks his lips, and you see a single pair of very delicately sharp canines growing from his teeth. And he says, "If you've come to kill me, I ain't gonna stop you. I just got one request first."
"What is it?"
Yous don't know me. I'm thinking yous the kind of like sort of haughty adventurers that come through this joint every now and then. You're gonna look at me and you're gonna make some judgments, right? I live underneath the church. That's judgment number one. I'm affiliated with the church. Hey, that's judgment number two.
Sure.
I'm gonna say this right off the jump. I'm not a church guy, right? I like
me neither.
Okay. You know, I like carousing. I like doing a little trouble. But also, I got into some trouble lately. I'm sort of, how you gonna say this? Maybe a tiny bit of a vampire.
The fangs were an indication.
I can't control it. I'm doing the work. I'm doing the steps to get out of it. You're all familiar with the 12 steps to rehabilitate against vampirism.
We've all been to VA.
I'm working the steps. But obviously my pops is wary, and he doesn't trust that I'm going to be able to win this particular fight. So I'm looking for a test.
I have a question. Quick, am I in the room with you? I assume
you're all on the stairs, so you can all get a hand on this conversational ball.
Now, I have a question for you, good sir. Have you been down here in this basement for your entire vampiric tenure?
No, I've been down here for like, I don't know, time's a construct, first of all, but also it's dark. So like maybe 2 weeks, maybe 10 days, maybe 4 days. I'm going to be honest. He left me down here with a bunch of highlights magazines, and I blew through them in like a quick 48 hours. I'll tell you what, I don't like this goofus character. I'm a gallant man.
The real question I ask is not for your taste in highlight magazine characters, but can vampires go that long without consuming flesh and or blood? You're going through withdrawals, or how you doing?
I appreciate your candor, right? Ask the questions that you ask. I'm not a full honest to God, you know, ironic, and I know saying it down here. I'm not a full honest to God vampire. I'm sort of what the guy calls spawn. So,
and there's time. There's hope.
Listen, I've had some rough nights. I've had some really, really tough times in the last 2 weeks.
Four days.
I really think that I can sort of fight up against this, but I'm looking to prove it to myself before I try and prove it to anybody else. So
Gareth takes his knife and cuts the palm of his hand so blood drops on the floor.
Don't do that. Hey, motherfucker.
Cool.
Don't all tempt right,
well,
the vampire.
I'm gonna start rolling the dice that I was planning on rolling later a little earlier.
Don't put us into initiative. I, Apollo, will go to the States.
Fight you. Okay. All right. We're not in initiative. This person looks at this blood gently pattering on the stone floor of this undercroft. The way that, I mean, Gareth, you've never seen hunger like this. And you've spent your time in the seedy underbelly of Waterdeep. You've seen drug addiction. You've seen addictions of other sort of like stripes. You have never seen somebody look at the blood running from your palm to the ground the way that this person is looking at it. He is so shaking.
Seeing that reaction, and do I see him restrain himself at all?
Yes. He is, every muscle in his body tenses. Bestie, what's that illness that people die from where all of their muscles snap up into one, into like tension?
Rigor mortis.
It's like, is it, it's not tinnitus.
No, that's ringing in your ear.
You take tetanus?
Tetanus.
Tetanus?
Is that, that's the one where like all of their muscles snap up?
I mean,
up,
yeah, you get real rigid. It's not a fun way to die.
Okay. He kind of looks like, he kind of looks like that, Gareth, where like every one of his muscles, like,
but there's like, there's a lot of different things that can make you like contracted, but yeah, tetanus gives you like jaw and shit.
I think Gareth sees the initial hesitation.
Oh, wait. Sorry, Gareth. Just one more detail that I'm reading. This is from the module. I'm not going to fuck you, Alex. Cut that, asshole. There's one more detail.
Love you, Alex.
Yeah, fuck you, Alex.
No, Alex, you piece of shit. There's one more detail, Garion. He starts whimpering to himself, his clawed fingers flexing and twisting. When the shadows come, I will not yield. Darkness is the destroyer. Temptation is its weapon. I will face the night and all of the horrors that await me at the horizon. For in the light of the morning Lord's love, only light can remain. And then
that's
his,
what
fingers,
I like.
His fingers just stretch just a little bit towards his butt. As he reaches for the holy symbol.
Whimpering.
Oh, God.
In this very dramatic moment where his soul is on the line, he reaches for his butt.
What have we done? So
can I extend my bless to him?
No, but Gareth, okay. Sorry, I interrupted you for that little bit extra detail. What would you like to do?
So seeing the combination of the hunger in his eyes followed by the physical and religious restraint he is putting on himself, Gareth personally is satisfied with the test that he has just forced upon this poor vampire spawn. And he'll say, all right, seems good enough. You at least restrained yourself initially. You didn't jump at me. I'm proud of you, and I think we have some work to do. And he starts bandaging up his head to reduce further temptation.
Really quick, down here, surrounded by the detritus and blood and vampirism, please tell me about the hat that Connie is wearing.
So he did change out of the Pope hat after leaving the, you know.
As is only right. I think he would sure, be. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Now, he was hatless for a while trying to read the situation. And then when he saw those canines and heard the vampire spawn, he put on his classic Van Helsing hat.
Which is what?
The hat that Hugh Jackman was wearing in the movie Van Helsing.
Foolish of me to ask. Honestly, I should have assumed. There. Okay, fair enough. Okay, after what seems like an eternity, this boy, I mean, he can't be older than 17, finally relaxes. His tense muscles uncoil a little bit. His breathing grows steadier, and he closes his eyes in a contemplative moment, and then they flutter open. And then the sharpened canines in his mouth actually retract. You see them slide back up into his normal teeth. And he says, I ain't giving up. Not yet.
Okay. We can bring this up to your father and hopefully we'll be able to, you'll be able to figure out a way to help.
So can Arnold ask, I don't know much about, I just learned about what a vampire is literally today. Is there some way to help you not be a vampire anymore?
I don't know much about it myself. I was just turned a couple weeks ago after I took part in Izmak Kolyanovich's, I don't know if you've met him. He led a sort of rebellion, and we all marched up to Castle Ravenloft. Yeah. So things went sort of poorly.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. And did anybody else get?
Yeah, were you the only one?
So things went poorly. I wasn't even, so the devil Strahd doesn't deign to term people himself. He's got sort of machinations and evil sort of Fair. Shit that does it for him.
He outsources it.
I was turned by his I guess you could call it his body man.
Okay.
Oh, fucking name. Sorry, hang on.
That's what we're going with.
Strahd's body man. Bod. Got it.
His name's Radahan. He's a sort of half elf sort of
who Ratatouille's the situation.
He'll yeah, so he's sort of control body. He's actually a tiny mouse that lives in Strahd's hat and sort of do vampire stuff.
He is Radahan man.
Damn, that's funny. Fuck, that's a way better joke. Shit. But anyway, so I was in one room and all of my sort of associates were in another, and Radahan kept asking us like what happened and why we were here, sort of killing us one by one. And
then he's just like going through like, so why are you guys doing here? Like what's the deal with you guys?
And so like after a while, I was the only one left, and to turn me, he made me drink the blood that he had cut out of them. And so that's how I became what I am now. But I'm glad you can make jokes about it, big guy. I'm glad you can laugh about it.
You drank your companion's blood, not the vampire's blood?
No, Radahan turned a couple of them too, just in the sort of interrogative process.
Oh, so there are more vampires just out and about?
No, they're all in Castle Raven. Well, I mean, some of them might be out. The Devil Strahd likes to use them as sort of like information seekers, sort of like little pawns in his game. But a lot of them are in the castle, so to speak, just sort of like kicking it.
So how did you get out?
I was released.
That is suspicious.
Very.
You know what's more suspicious? If everybody else died or got turned, how did Izzy get out?
That's even more suspicious. Holy shit, Julian. We should keep you around.
I'm not an accountant, and I've been telling you this.
He was keeping account of the history.
My
of
whole job back in Waterdeep is thinking about things.
And you're best accountant we've ever had to avoid our taxes.
That's right.
Hey, listen, if you's gonna go back up there, just tell my dad that I'm really sorry about my mistake, and I'm gonna stay down here until he's ready to let me out. But I do think that you should give him this. And he sort of like ducks back into the shallows, and you hear a wet slurp, and then he comes back with a magenta kryptonite.
I'm sorry, Alex. Can we please hear the wet slurp?
Wet slurp. Yeah, sure. It's sort of like a
oh no. Oh god, he pulled out an entire ramen packet out of there too. Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
The audio only listeners. Garion has turned around.
Julian, there you go.
He comes back with a pink magenta holy symbol. And gingerly. Actually, you know what? He puts it in Gareth's hand because Gareth was the one he was speaking with.
You know what? And you're not going to believe this, but Gareth sees the shiny jewel on the end and he pockets that shit without a second thought.
God damn it. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Hey, Gareth, that's a holy symbol that we might need to give to the father, and it's been in a vampire's butt. Just letting you know.
You know what? Yuck, but it's fine. It's in one of my numerous pockets.
We need to give it to the father. That's the whole reason we came down here. I will pay you for it if I need to.
Fret not, friend. I will happily give up this butt jewel to the father. That is why we are down here. I apologize for my, dare I say, muscle memory when handed something shiny.
I got worried for a second, but you're doing great and I'm proud of you.
All right, let's smash cut back upstairs to the church. Father Donovan looks at the holy symbol that you're holding, Gareth, and his eyes go wide. And he stumbles back, his hand catching the simple table that acts as the altar in this church. And he says, My son, did you?
No, actually, believe it or not, for maybe the first time ever, nobody died down there. We didn't even roll initiative. You don't know what that means, but.
Not even the angry one with the bow?
You know what? Even harder to believe, no. She didn't even knock an arrow.
That's pretty weird.
It is.
Your son is.
Yeah, I'm honestly kind of freaked out. I'm scared.
Your son is incredibly strong. Your son is incredibly strong.
Does he notice the my bandaged hand at all?
No. Yes. I mean, he notices it. His eyes linger on it. But first he says the joke that I got ready, which was it's probably all the CrossFit that he does with Will Atticus.
I'm gone. Those boys actually.
Those boys are big into CrossFit. Pumping.
I have to stay up to like 2-3 a.m. regularly for these recording sessions, and I cannot keep doing this.
I cannot justify it for this bullshit.
Okay. He does notice your hand, Gareth, and he says, did he hurt you at all? Did he wound you? Did he create that injury?
You know what? I actually have fantastic news for you. Not only was this wound self-inflicted, but all of the blood has remained there and not lapped up like a dog who is thirsty on a summer day.
Every time you hold up your hand, you have a cat. Like,
just a reminder.
Okay. So Father Donovan's eyes glisten. He runs a trembling hand over his like shaved scalp. Disbelief, rage, grief, shame, finally hope dances across his face as he says, he's still my son.
Yeah, actually, I feel like from what I've seen so far, zombification is like way, way worse for the whole mindset and personality. We might have a shot here.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot about zombies. Not a great situation. This, not so bad. He seems pretty cool.
As recompense, I would be happy to, the accent is slipping, Anthony. Don't fucking look at me like that. I'm doing my goddamn best here.
It
started as Marlon Brando. It dipped into Stitch a little bit.
It did. You fell right into Stitch, and I was really excited.
Well,
for one
you
word
the
only.
Holy symbol to the father, and he says, Ohana means family?
You never turn your back on your family. Like, what just happened? It was amazing.
I fuck with it.
He says, I would be happy to provide consecrations for all of the corpses on your wagon. And I thank you for stopping by a building that may once again be the Church of Waterdeep. Or Barovia, wherever we are.
Real quick, are you sure?
The Morning Lord, motherfucker?
That's going to be a hell of a relocation.
Yes. He says, no, we're not actually moving. We are the Church of Barovia, and I just got distracted. Okay, smash cut. Father Donovan buries all of the bodies. He blesses each of them. He takes no extra time or less time with any of them. He shows no preference for, because obviously Ismark and Christina still linger at the edge of the cemetery. They didn't get involved in the scene because I fucking hate talking to myself as NPCs. So they sort of hung back. They obviously would have preferred and tried to get Father Donovan to spend a little bit more time consecrating their father's corpse, but he intentionally started with every single villager first, spending the exact same amount of time blessing them and making sure that their bodies are safe. And then Will Atticus came out of the fog again and picked up a shovel and started digging sort of like a long trench to bury the
bodies.
His muscles gleaming from all of that CrossFit. And that is where we are going to end this episode on the hopeful note, as you guys saved Donovan, Priest Donovan's son, whose name you didn't even ask. And that's fine.
Nah, who needs it?
Who needs it?
Do you have a pun you would like to share with the class?
It's crazy that this guy gave us a butt plug before introducing himself.
What's that?
Apollo, did you need some quick context?
It took me a non-inconsiderable amount of time to y'all talking about, my plug's been dry, to not realize that you weren't talking about butt plugs. That's all I wanted to say.
I'm so dry.
Please
I
continue.
Keep my butt plug very well lubricated.
You have to. You have to keep them
lubricated.
That's a pretty easy
of all the plugs that you need to lubricate. That's a good. That's one you want to keep lubricated.
That's the one you want lubricated.
The amount of times I forget that the things that I say to my friends aren't universal. I was rewatching some of our shorts recently. And when one of our fantastic guests asked, what kind of creatures are back there? I responded, the kind that need to be milked. And motherfucker, that is not a joke that people get, Garion. You can't say that.